myself, so would everyone please come right away. I hope they got their boxes and their office turned on. Please note the presence of Representative Terrio. And presence of Representative Brown. Representative Parnell. John, would you come and pull up a chair for Representative Tuohy, please? And McLean. Carol, we're going to deputize here to make a run down the hall. Representative Hanley, we have a quorum present. We're able to conduct business. Today we have three overviews. We'll take them in the following order: the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Environmental Conservation, and Fish and Game. In regards to the Department of Natural Resources, governor's proposal for fiscal year 94. It's up $1,225,500 from fiscal year 93 authorized. Over the last 10 years, I'm going on with a little bit of summary that I gave yesterday. If we were to look at the DNR budget at $93 as it was in 1983 and compare it with 1993, we would see that in general fund dollars, the purchasing power of dollars for DEC has decreased by $53,078,800. So this is one of our natural resource industries where the funding over the last 10 years has been eroded by inflation and others to a large amount. And, of course, one of the things that we have before the Finance Committee now is, do we want to continue these trends or do we want to make some changes? So with that brief presentation, Commissioner, you have our attention.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm grateful that you drew the committee's attention to those figures. Let me just mention by way of preface that we have the only state constitution in the United States which has specified in Article 8 the priority and the special mandate for natural resources. And I know most of you are familiar, but in the material we circulated for you, I just included that so that you would see in Section 2, the constitutional requirement is that the legislature shall provide for the utilization, development, and conservation of all natural resources, including land and waters, for the maximum benefit of its people. And simply draw the further attention, we roughly have about 2% of the budget and generate about 80% of the revenue of the state. That's a very high leverage, and I'm happy, Mr. Chairman, I'm told it's appropriate to tell you we have just consummated a lease sale this morning. It was finished at noon, which has the third highest bonus bid in Alaskan history. And that sale with the bonus bids and so on is roughly just about $90 million. And I remind the committee that over the last 4 years, in relation to the recovery of revenue to the state with respect to past leases of one kind or another in oil and gas, it constitutes about $738 million. So I'm not going to say this department's the best buy in town, but I will say that as an introduction, we have tried to take responsibly the constitutional mandate and our requirement. Mr. Chairman, I have with me today, happily, some staff in many ways more strongly prepared in depth for responses to the committee. Ann McCord, our assistant commissioner, and Rog Aleem, our legislative liaison, and my special assistant, Nico Buss, our chief of financial operations, with me at the table, and Jeff Hartman, our new assistant director for administrative services. I will try with your counsel earlier, Mr. Chairman, to be as brief as I can in what I might call a generic overview, because I know, with very few exceptions, the veterans around the table who know much of what I would otherwise say, and reference now the handout materials which we provided in advance. Just by, for our new members and by way of just reference, in the back of the front page is simply a description of the divisions. And as you will know, we have 8 divisions in agriculture, forestry, geological and geophysical survey, land, oil and gas, mining, water, and parks and outdoor recreation. We have 2 major commissions that report to the department on the Citizens Commission on Federal-State Relations and a critically important Oil and Gas Commission. We have 1 major board, the Valdez Oil Spill Board, and we have 1 major comprehensive office, the State Pipeline Office, which coordinates federal, state, native, and other land and other kinds of issues. We have included, additionally, Mr. Chairman, some supportive material with regard to the components of the line item funding sources on the first backup document. The second one, which may have greater interest to you, we circulated, and I think all of you received in advance, our strategic plan, which we developed in the late fall. And you will note, if you've had a chance to look at it, we have taken the 5 critical priorities of this administration as the principal concern. Number 1, the implementation of the owner state. Number 2, to stimulate sustainable economic development. Number 3, to implement efficiencies of government operation. 4, deliver essential services. And 5, stimulate local initiative, community involvement, and personal responsibility. And in the second, that second backup document that you have, you'll note that we have identified the various activities of the department in relation to those priorities. So you'll note the governor's priorities in column 1, the DNR missions in column 2, and then the projects which describe our effort and operation. And the final document is simply a summary report, which I alluded to a moment ago, of the oil and gas settlement revenue. Bear in mind, this is additional. This is in addition to the royalties, severance taxes, and others. These are settlements which, together with the Department of Law, the department has been able to make in the past 4 years in enhancing state revenue by recouping by the vigilance of our department, which Representative Brown helped to stimulate and put in place, as some of you will know. That vigilance was reflected in the lease sale this morning. $30 million of that $90 million would have been lost if we had not been tough-minded in the resolution of the expiration of those leases, which occurred last April, as recently as last April. It was because of that vigilance that the reopening of the lease sale and so on was a very significant part of this morning. I just want to illustrate that stewardship, which is reflected in that last document. Now, our approach, Mr. Chairman, as an overview for our budget is very simple. In the light of our recognition that this department is like the tide that lifts all the boats in the harbor, our basic revenue resource for the state is natural resources and their development. We reviewed and restructured our organization and efforts in accord with the administrative priorities and our mission to reflect those critical components. We have fast-tracked the land settlement issue, which is part of the state compact. You may recall in that settlement, which established our statehood, we were allocated 106 million acres of upland and the Tidewater Continental Shelf appropriate to state jurisdiction, which is 62 million. And when I took office in July, we had only actually consummated the claim of 82 million. We had 18 months, 2 years from that time remaining because the time had been extended. And I indicated that our department and the Division of Land would accelerate that so that we would make our final filing to claim the remaining land holdings before the end of this administration and before the new. Our deadline was December 31, and we filed for 23 million acres, our remaining land selection, on the afternoon of December 31st. So we have expended an enormous amount of time and effort, but that relating to that first priority to resolve the compact. We have further taken initiative since that compact envisaged, as you will note on the back page of our strategic plan, Who Owns Alaska, we have the anomaly of a state with less than 1% of our land in private hands. I used to find it a little more thrilling to mention before the collapse of the Soviet Union that there was more private property in the former Soviet Union by percentage, not by percentage, and more private property in the hands of the private citizen in Red China than there is in Alaska. As a result, the initiative and responsibility, among other things, was to consummate the municipal grant, the municipal entitlement grants, and to try as swiftly as possible to move the land as a complement to dollars into the appropriate hands, and to see if there were ways as well to accelerate moving some of that land into private hands. So that has comprised a major priority in that first priority. The second priority to stimulate economic development and revenue enhancement, as you will know, we have been working very closely, and when the governor asked me to move over to this assignment from Commerce and Economic Development to ensure a close cooperation and integration of our economic development and international trade and resource development. And we have sought in every appropriate way to stimulate that. We have tried within our eight divisions to ensure that the custody and stewardship of our resources was wedded at the same time as its concern for the conservation of those resources, as the Constitution mandates their utilization and development as well. So our budget reflects the emphasis on an appropriate integration of environmental concerns with economic development, but a view toward the stimulation of those resources and so on. A top priority, for instance, in our first mission, which is to consummate the compact with the state and federal government, was to ensure the appropriate corridor access to these resources that is a pivotal part of our land policy. And that filing, with all that is entailed in that, was made with full regard for where those resources are located and what their access would be. Second element, or a third element, was to stimulate and to accelerate the effort at simplifying the regulatory process. As you will know, when Title 38 was first passed by the legislature, it had 14 pages. It now has 187, with a footnote supplement that greatly expands that. And the kind of lament that we get from our people, I'm sure that you get from your constituency, is that initially that regulatory provision of Title 38 was designed to facilitate the constitutional mandate, not to inhibit it or to make it more difficult. And one of our major legislative priorities will be an effort to revisit and streamline that process. And we have begun within our statutory capabilities now within the department to do just that. We have tried to consolidate our planning functions and to integrate our regulatory functions so that we minimize bureaucracy and minimize hassle both to the citizenry and to the relationship with other agencies in order that we can facilitate both in terms of time and cost and people, these regulatory requirements. We have also tried to reduce programs that would in any way be redundant or repetitious or an overlay of bureaucracy. And when I came, I asked Nico to give me a kind of a breakout of the percentages in our budget of the dollars allocated to function. And to the functions of development, management, regulation, administration, and technical support. And it was my observation, I know that you can't easily translate the management functions of a university to a state, but there are some potential learning there. And the administrative cost of the generic budget seemed to me to be unduly high. It was over 20%, and we've had in the effort in this new budget to try as effectively as we can to reduce the administrative support side so that we could maximize the dollars that was going more directly into program. Finally, in relation to the a critical dilemma for those who may be new to the budget, as it was for me, is the fire suppression program. You will appreciate there is an enormous flexibility in the cost that has that goes into firefighting. You fight the fires that you have. You cannot calculate in advance how many there will be, and the variation is really quite great. In 1990-91, we expended $50 million for fire suppression. $7 million in 93, and the variation is as low as about 5.5, and of course that peak with the Toke fire of 50. But in the past, the practice, as you may know, has been to allocate in the supplemental budget the real costs that have been generic to the fire suppression program. And this year, I made the request, but I'm going to tell you my request was what did it. I'm too prudent to know that's not the case. But in any event, you will find in the budget material the fire suppression has been taken out of the that variable factor has been taken out of the budget, and we have sought to project what has been generally characterized as our fixed costs. You want to say, I didn't need the fixed cost for the fire fighting program, which happens whether you fight, you know, $50 million worth of fires or eight or nine. We have sought to improve the services to the public. We have integrated the public affairs. As some of you will have visited the office on the second floor of the Frontier Building in Anchorage, where all of the departments and programs have been aggregated so that in a kind of a one-stop process from the point of view of the general public, the citizenry of our state has an immediate access to the information. We have proposed a capital budget which is designed to try to reinforce and stimulate these priorities. We proposed an initial budget. We realized that it was not imprudent. I just took the calculated view that if our department was raising 80% of the budget, it wouldn't be inappropriate to propose about 20% of the capital budget for natural resources. That turned out to be a little illusory, but I just want you to know that was the logic and the rationale in the model. We proposed a $46 million budget, and the governor's budget, as you know, will reflect about 10. We have made the following specific and generic modifications to the budget. We have reduced the Forest Management and Development Program by $791,000. We have not eliminated our concern for the nursery program, the forestry nursery program, but we've moved that over and integrated it with the Division of Agriculture and Ron out in your district to coordinate that with the university's research campus and our materials center, so that we think we'll get a lot more, bang for a buck, we'll get a lot more seedlings for our buck in that integration. The Division of Lands budget was reduced roughly by about $800,000 on the planning and the regulatory and support functions, though the net reduction is only about half that because we realigned the public information support service as an integrated function of the land budget, even though it serves all of the divisions. The one-time funding, you will note, on the wetlands program of $97,500 has been eliminated. And the actual receipts collected in the parks we have reduced some, the operation and maintenance, by the realism of our program revenues appropriate to them. Actually, these have been primarily related to those park units, and we have 131 of them, where the user numbers have been inordinately low. Let me just say, and I'll be through in a moment now, Mr. Chairman, let me just say that for those of you who have wondered about the cost of, and you hear a lot these days about the extravagant cost of public service in Alaska, we are servicing, as you know, we have the largest state park service in the nation. We have, by far and away, the largest federal park service in the nation. And the federal parks cost per visitor in Alaska this last year was $15 a person, and our state park, 75 cents. We think that's a fairly, a kind of a commendable comment on about as careful a stewardship of public dollars and public service as you could probably generate. And I think people generally would argue that we have some of the finest state parks that can be found anywhere. The mining program reflects $1,600,000 more money from the federal government, but it is also a commentary on the importance of that area of our state obligation and of the significance of our division, both of mining and of geophysical and geological survey. And finally, we have made increases in those areas that are really critical to the development of these resources. Their modesty has already been reflected by the chairman's comment. We really need more than we are proposing for our oil and gas development, though that we have increased that modestly. In our mining development, the Commission on Oil and Gas, our water and geological development, and the commissioner's office. Now, this funding was really in part reflects the diminishing of funding resources in some of these areas. The administrative service budget was reduced by about $250,000, and the agricultural development budget, it will appear in your file or format, to have been increased, but I indicate we have integrated the soil and water conservation, which was formerly located in the commissioner's office. We have brought those together, Mr. Chairman, in your district in Palmer. We think there are some savings and strengthening of the service linking agriculture and the Soil and Conservation Commission. So the agricultural budget will appear to be slightly higher, but it reflects the integration of those functions. So we've tried to do more with less. We've tried to illustrate wise stewards of our constitutional and statutory obligation. And I'd be happy now with that general overview, Mr. Chairman, to reply to any comments or questions and or to call on my colleagues to help me.
Sure. Thank you. We have a question, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Commissioner, I wanted to ask about something that's not here that relates to the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, which is on page 35 of our overview book. In discussions with several of the commissioners prior to coming to Juneau, was my understanding that they intended to ask for a capital project or an operating project in the neighborhood of $500,000 for further analysis and evaluation of the producer's data coming out of Prudhoe. And those of you who heard know of my interest in this, it relates to our prudent management of this very large oil field in respect to timing of gas sales and whether we're squeezing every drop out that's possible to do. What became of that project?
It's in the capital budget.
What's its name? I just looked at it, and it doesn't appear to be.
It was in the $46 million, but then when we came down to the $10 million, that was dropped, Commissioner.
But that's what we appealed. Mm-hmm. Well, it was in our original budget. When it was cut out, I appealed it, and I haven't heard the result of that appeal. Many of my appeals fail. I recognize that.
Is it in there?
It was in our request, and the governor's capital budget does not have it included.
We agree with the
representative. And just to highlight it for the committee, I think it's one of the most important things that this department does, and really very important that we pursue that situation. So I just ask the subcommittee to pursue finding out how we can get that project into the budget.
As a footnote, as you may know because you're experienced in the area, the concern, we have a concern on the metering problem alone, and the possibility of a loss of revenue if there's anything that really is not totally monitored and with great care. We're talking here about very large sums of money.
Okay, just a real general question, Commissioner. In one of your department's recent publications, Into the 21st Century, you really emphasized the importance of the mental health and settlement there. Could you give us any update or where you think that is at this time?
Yes, in our original meeting with the House Committee of Resources, I asked our department to prepare a kind of an update digest of where we are, That is done, and I think if you would be, if you would have an interest of all of the members of the committee, we could be sure to have that to you later today. In summary, because I don't have it in front of me, but just so that you get the sense of our sense of the priority, in the legislative 66, which was an effort on the part of the legislature to confirm a kind of an agreement between the state and the plaintiffs in the mental health case, we developed some principles of cooperation and so on, which are currently before the judge in Fairbanks, you know, for final review. In the meantime, we have been moving forward on the basis of those tentative agreements, on those agreements if they're confirmed, so that in the original entitlement, as you know, when we became a state, 1 million acres were set aside for mental health. And for whatever reason, I'm not going to comment on how that happened, but by virtue of action taken by the state, that the integrity of that covenant was not kept. I think that's the nicest way to put it. And we have, there are very few unencumbered acres. There's only 35,000 of those 1 million acres are now currently unencumbered. But about 325 of them are recoverable with encumbrance. So we have, you know, roughly about 360,000 acres of the million, which we are trying to reconstitute, you know, in some kind. But that leaves us roughly between, you know, 650,000 acres that we have under the agreement, that the state would establish land comparable value. So the question of comparability, you know, is critically involved. And in the terms of our program, hypothecated, that is to say, we have worked to set aside a pool of land that seems more than adequate to, you know, to address that differential. From my point of view, we have hypothecated too much land. That is, we have hypothecated about 7 million acres to satisfy 600,000. And I think that puts the state at enormous limit, you know, an enormous handicap in moving some of this land, because obviously this is among the most critical land in the state, into either municipal entitlements or community entitlements or whatever. So we're asking the Attorney General now to review what I have recommended, and that is we should radically reduce that hypothecated number in terms of assurance so that we do not tie up this large an amount of land until the mental health is settled. I'm sorry, now I've given you a less than an adequate, but the detail of that is in the document. But that's kind of in summary. So we are moving forward in along the lines of that agreement with the mental health plaintiff, you know, with the plaintiffs in the case, so that we are trying not to hold up the resource development, which has been the case with the university settlement, with the Wishbone Mill. We just have so many. This comes as close to the Vietnam domino theory that I've seen. You know that the mental health. You knock one of those over, and you have just a whole sequence of contingent factors that go down. So we're trying now. We believe that we're very close to the point, if we were to get a decision from the judge tomorrow, and if we were to get agreement from the plaintiffs tomorrow, we would be in a position to consummate this very quickly. But short of that, you know, this could be a very protracted period, because one of the four plaintiffs now is not in agreement with the other three. So that complicates. But I'm sorry to take that. Oh, at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, Raga alerts me, there will be a briefing on the mental health lands in the Resource Committee by Ron Swanson, who will be much more, you know, knowledgeable than I. But that's, you know, in brief summary.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions of the commissioner at this time? Commissioner, the finance subcommittee on your budget will consist of Representatives Carney, Davies, Toohey, Green, Williams, James, and it'll be chaired by Representative Terriel. And we thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you.
The next overview that we...
Mr. Chairman, would you give me another 2 minutes?
Sure.
I'm embarrassed because they put it here and I didn't thought of it. I just wanted to observe that when I first came to this job, I said one of the perils of Alaska is that we keep thinking that our only resource is money and that our main source of money is simply Prudhoe Bay. And in the constitutional description and in the covenant with the federal government, it was recognized that our resources were a major substitute for money. So I ask our people to do an original, kind of a quick and dirty description of the... Yeah, it looks a little better. I'm embarrassed because the staff have been hesitant to turn me loose with this at all. They feel that I, a lot of people do, I talk too much, and that I'm a little extravagant with words. And my wife says, you know, that only Alaska, the only place we've ever been that my extravagant speech is an understatement. It's hard, from my point of view, to be extravagant about this, but let me tell you, the first cut at this, the figures were so large that the staff just didn't want me to even speak of it. What we have done is to take in what we know about the resources. You will notice we've identified in the black circles the fossil fuel basins. We have 14. We've only explored one in any depth, only two even in modest part. The coal reserves, 40 to 60% of North America. We have a new technology that links coal and water in a new kind of slurry that we think is now market competitive with oil. We have gas. We have 9.5 million acres of geothermal. I asked them, we have the hydro capability of electrical generation of 34 gigawatts. That's enough electricity to run the western United States now at its current level of need. Our problem is to find the technology to be able to move these in an economic feature. So here is a kind of a format. This is the one they at least thought they could turn me loose with. This is the least imaginative, the most nearly certain. It illustrates that at bottom, in the basis of what we know, and we've only mapped 7% of the state, our resources on this map are roughly about $357 billion. The original format was three times the national debt, or $6 trillion, and I don't talk about that publicly. But in any event, I thought we do not have copies of this for the reasons I've mentioned, but if the chairman would like, it does seem to me, in this period where we're talking about how little we have, this is a department that without exaggeration, would like to call attention to the world-class resources that it's our privilege, as well as responsibility to manage.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, the next overview we have today is the Department of Environmental Conservation. Using my same analysis here of $93, comparing what we have done over the last 10 years with just taking in inflation, not counting any new programs or services or population growth, the Department of Environmental Conservation has grown to the tune of about $5.5 million more effort being required here, or being requested for fiscal 94 and what we had in fiscal 83. The budget itself reflects a request for an increase
of approximately $498,000. With that brief introduction, we have Commissioner Sandor. Commissioner, welcome to House Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm accompanied by Janice Adair, who's Assistant Commissioner for Administration and Administrative Services. I appreciate the opportunity to appear before this committee. Also with me are members of our staff, division directors, and the Southeast Regional Administrator, and if there's some specific questions regarding those programs, I might want to call on them for assistance and response. I would, with your permission, Mr. Chairman, want to briefly summarize our objectives for fiscal year 93 and 94. I'll just summarize the paper that's been formally given to you and other members of the committee, but I want to relate those objectives to the budget items that we're dealing with. We have in the Department of Environmental Conservation stressed the necessity and desirability of having formal partnership agreements with communities, boroughs, Defense Department, other organizations. And we have over 50 such agreements, and we want to continue to do that because we believe that environmental protection and conservation activities are best dealt with at the local level, with the state and federal governments playing a supportive role. We have as our second really major objective the implementation of the Alaska's Water and Sanitation Task Force, which deals with the tremendous environmental health problem in Alaska's rural communities. We have over 100 communities that do not have safe water and sanitation systems. And in fact, at lunch today, Commissioner Ted Mala reports that there are over 80 cases of hepatitis A raging through the rural communities of Alaska that stems really from inadequate sanitation systems. I should point as an aside that Canada, in dealing with this problem in their rural communities, reached the conclusion that the cost of health problems that stemmed from inadequate water and sanitation systems was worth the investments that are necessary for them to get rid of their honey bags, as they call them, and beginning in with a program in the early 1980s, they're well on their way and expect to have honey bags eliminated completely by 1997 or 8. So we want to work with the Environmental Protection Agency, especially in the new administration, to quite frankly bring them into tune with what conditions are of importance from an environmental protection standpoint in the state and Alaska's unique conditions. I just would mention that wetlands, the 1% rule that President Bush enunciated in August of 1991 and was never formally promulgated by the Environmental Protection Agency, yet it was endorsed by all of the governors at the National Governors Conference, is something we hope to persuade the Environmental Protection Agency to complete in final form. We want to assist the Environmental Protection Agency in establishing a regional office in Alaska. Again, to have policy people and their top specialists available here to learn firsthand what the conditions are and to be able to assist and work in a partnership arrangement with us in the community. So we're not talking about a 500-person regional office such as is exists in Seattle. We're talking about an organization from 50 to 60 people, which would draw upon specialists from other EPA regions in Washington, D.C. We want to complete the revision of the Alaska Water Quality Standards, which is part of the Clean Water Act's triennial review. And this is an effort that is to be completed by the spring or early summer of 1994. but we'll have a phase two available perhaps by late February or early March, at which time we'd like to, or hopeful that appropriate committees would deal with that. This is very important. We want to maintain state primacy of federal environmental protection programs, but only where those federal requirements for primacy are realistic and there is adequate funding to do the job. We want, in that respect, to maintain state sovereignty with regard to the administrations of those programs. We want to continue implementation of Alaska's tough oil discharge prevention and contingency planning regulations to deal with such problems and contaminated sites and